try this again. Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, 23 April, 2026, Hebrews.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God this evening to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1 and the incomparable Christ. In preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. We have updates on the Las Ventanas Senior Living Center. The Las Ventanas Psalm 23 report for April 22nd. The Las Ventanas lesson on Wednesday, April 22nd was attended by six ladies, and it went very well. Pastor Olson continued teaching the 23rd Psalm, describing how David was provided logistical grace after he fled the palace during the Absalom revolution. He fled with nothing more than the clothes on his back. God provided for him logistical grace, blessing, and security, temporal security to keep him alive in the middle of the devil's world. He defined logistical grace as divine planning, divine support, divine provision, and divine blessing, provided so we might fulfill God's plan, will, and purpose for our life in the short time we are here on earth. Glory to God as He continues to bless the ministry at Las Ventanas. And your prayers are greatly appreciated. Rich Blair. And then the Valencia Senior Living Center, they are listening to the Heaven Special. We had a great class today with Mark and Bob. What about Bob, you know? We started the second half of lesson one. Pastor was talking about the three witnesses to heaven, Jesus Christ, Paul, and John. We went through the verses where Jesus was teaching about heaven. Both Mark and Bob enjoyed the class and said, "See you next week." Anytime the accurate teaching of the Word of God is presented, Always be prepared for the angelic conflict to oppose it. I arrived early to the library where we have the class. There were two employees in the room doing a Zoom meeting. I spoke to Veronica about it as it was almost time for class to start. We were given an alternate room, which in fact was way better than the library. Veronica said we could use this room from now on. But wait, there's more. As we're preparing to start, the fire alarms are going off. And the employees are scrambling. We get the word, we have to leave the building. So I just laughed and went to the elevator. As I was at the elevator, there was an all-clear signal that the alarm was a test alarm. Testing, testing. So once we got started, it was smooth sailing. I presented the gospel and then opened with prayer. Next week, we will start lesson two. At the beginning, Mark was the only one there, and he asked if I would still play the class if he was the only one. I told him I would play the class for him. Again, your prayers are greatly appreciated. Veronica, the head lady of the center, is very accommodating and is trying to remind the residents of this opportunity. Really, the one who has to work here is God Himself. So God can work in the hearts of the people there and draw by. That's what you pray for. Pray that God would draw by His hand of grace all of those people who are supposed to be there, prepare their hearts that they might grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. Jerry Cahoon. All right. Well, I can't tell you how much fun I am having studying Hebrews. And God's timing is perfect in everything. His timing is absolutely perfect. And I was telling Deb, I just can't believe I've gone all this long and have not taught the book of Hebrews. It is so powerful. She says, well, God's time. This she's telling me now. I'm getting a class from Pastor Olson down here. God's timing is absolutely perfect. And at this time in your ministry, this is the coup de grace. This is the thing, the book to be teaching right now, Hebrews. And we start out, and there nobody knows who the human author is. But what a way to start. He doesn't start out with a salutation. He starts right out in Hebrews 1, 1 to 3, with the incomparable Christ. Now, we have exegeted verses 1 and 2 and part of verse 3. In Hebrews 1, 1 and 2, it says, in many parts of the Old Testament, and in many various ways, long ago, God communicated to the fathers through the prophets. But in these last days, He, God the Father, has communicated to us through His Son. In the past, God revealed Himself through prophets who were mere men. But Jesus is the eternal Son of God, the second person of the Trinity. He is God. He is is the one through whom God is speaking in these last days. The prophet spoke the word of God, but the Son is both the living word of God and God himself. John 1:1. Therefore, it is Jesus, the Son of God, who expresses the New Testament revelation of all that the Father is and wants revealed to mankind. It is Jesus who has declared and perfectly explained, and in fact, the Greek word is exegeomai. He has exegeted God the Father. Jesus perfectly explains the works and the will of God the Father. So in these last days, He, God the Father, has communicated to us through His Son. Now the writer of Hebrews then sets forth seven reasons why Jesus qualifies to be the final communicator of divine revelation and is infinitely superior to the prophets of old. We have studied the first four reasons, and we have three more to go. The seven reasons: He is the heir of all things. Second reason: He is the creator of the universe. Third reason: He radiates God's glory. Fourth reason: He is the image of God and represents God perfectly. The fifth reason: He is the sustainer of the universe. The sixth reason: He is the Redeemer, the only Savior. The seventh reason: He is the ruler, the King of all kings, and the Lord of all lords. Well, the last one we studied was reason four. Who, the Lord Jesus Christ, being the radiance of His glory and the exact image, the exact representation of His, God the Father's, essence, His nature and essence. Now, reason number five, why the Lord Jesus Christ qualifies to be the final communicator of divine revelation and is infinitely superior to the prophets of old. He is the sustainer of the universe, sustaining all things by the verbal expression of His power. The key word here is the verb pharaoh. P-H-E-R-O, Pharaoh. And literally, this verb means to bear or to carry. And figuratively, it's describing the Son of God bearing up the universe, carrying the universe, if you will, by His powerful word. And the best way to translate it is to sustain, the sustainer of the universe. Christ constantly sustains the universe. Present tense, linear action start. Not just planet Earth, but the entire universe. When Christ was in the cradle at the incarnation and virgin birth, He is now the God-man, undiminished deity and true humanity of one person forever. While that baby, the true humanity, was in the cradle, His deity was sustaining the universe while He was in that cradle. He is holding the universe together right now. Jesus Christ is actually the one who is sustaining and holding the universe together. In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ is the creator of the universe as well as the sustainer of the universe. And we got that coming up in verse 10. And thou, Lord, in the beginning didst lay the foundation of the earth, and the heavens, the entire universe, are the works of your hands. And then over in Colossians 1, turn over to Colossians 1. Colossians 1. In Colossians 1, 16 and 17, we see the Lord Jesus Christ as the creator of the universe, and then we see the Lord Jesus Christ as the sustainer of the universe. First, the creator of the universe. For by the agency of Him, Jesus Christ, all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Him and for Him. And then verse 17, that's His, Jesus Christ as the creator of the universe. Verse 17, Jesus Christ as the sustainer of the universe. And He is before all things, and by the agency of Him, Jesus Christ, all things are held together, sustained. The sustainer of the universe is the Lord Jesus Christ. He sustains the universe, and this is amazing. He sustains the universe by the word of His power. The word of His mouth. We live in a universe that is sustained by the word of the Lord Jesus Christ's mouth. The accusative plural of past with the definite article is the all things. And then we have the dative singular of rhema with the definite article. That's H-R long E-M-A. Rhema. Now, there's another word for word, logos, but that we don't have logos. We have rhema, because rhema is the spoken word. And that describes the absolutely incomparable Christ. The universe, He spoke. He simply spoke, and the universe was created. And then the sustaining ministry, He sustains the universe by His speech. He speaks and everything is sustained and held together. So, a couple of things on rhema. One, rhema is the spoken word. The spoken word, not the logos, this is the spoken word, rhema. Two, rhema means that which is said or saying or expression. Three, Christ is sustaining all things, the entire universe, by the verbal expression of His dunamis. The verbal expression of His dunamis. D-U-N-A-M-I-S. And dunamis is where we get our word dynamite. So point four, dunamis is the word for power, for might, for strength, for force. So Christ is sustaining all things, the entire universe, by the verbal expression of His dunamis, His power, might, strength, and force. Five, Dunamis is used of God's power. His omnipotence. And here specifically God's power, the omnipotence of the incomparable Christ. He is the incomparable Christ because of He is the omnipotent God, the creator of the universe, the sustainer of the universe. Six, this is God's inherent power. This is God's inherent power. The Lord Jesus Christ's inherent power as the incomparable Christ. Seven, the Lord Jesus Christ is sustaining the all things, the entire universe, by the verbal expression of His power. The Lord Jesus Christ is sustaining the all things, the entire universe, by the verbal expression of His power. So you see, He is the incomparable Christ. And that means He should be more important to you than anything else in your life. That's what it means. What the human author is saying here through the inspiration ministry of God the Holy Spirit is that Jesus Christ is the incomparable Christ, the creator of the universe, the sustainer of the universe. And therefore, you know what? He should be more important in your life than anything else in your life. That's what the result of this is. So the corrected translation, and sustaining all things by the verbal expression of His power. All right. One, the Lord Jesus Christ created all things, the entire universe, and the Lord Jesus Christ is sustaining all things, the entire universe. The Lord Jesus Christ created all things, the entire universe. He is sustaining all things, the entire universe. Two, He not only sustains the universe, He is not only sustaining the universe, but He also moves all things. He also moves all things that have been created toward the goal that was established for them. He not only sustains the universe, but He also moves all things that have been created by Him toward that goal that was established for them. The incomparable Christ. Three, in other words, the universe coherence. The universe coherence is maintained by the incomparable Christ, who holds all things together, who holds all things together and moves them in their proper relationship to one another by the spoken word of His power. You get that? Make sure you get that down. In other words, the universe coherence is maintained by the incomparable Christ who holds all things together and moves them in their proper relationship to one another by the spoken word of His power. All right. Now, reason number six. Reason number six why the Lord Jesus Christ qualifies to be the final communicator of divine revelation and is infinitely superior to the prophets of old. He is the Redeemer and the only Savior. There's only one Redeemer. There's only one Savior. And I've listened to people and they say, oh, well, I think, I believe that, that Jesus Christ was alive and all these things, but I don't buy that that Savior stuff. Well, if you don't buy that, you're going to die an unbeliever and live forever in the lake of fire. He came on that first Christmas, the eternal Son of God, to take on true humanity because He's the only Savior, the only Redeemer. He came to solve the world problem of sin. And you all have a problem. Well, the whole world has a problem of sin. And Jesus Christ, well, God the Father and His impersonal love for all designed Operation Grace, the cross. And when He designed Operation Grace, God the Son said, yes, sir, I'll do it. And in His impersonal love for the whole world, He willingly took on true humanity, willingly went to the cross, willingly received your sins and mine and the sins of the whole world and paid the penalty for them. And because He did that, anyone, any place, anywhere, through simple faith in Jesus Christ, can have eternal salvation. But there are a lot of people out there. They don't want to admit that they're a sinner. Or that Christ is the Savior. That Christ is the only Savior, the only Redeemer. There's a lot of religions in the world. And they thank Christ to some of those religions, even those who are Islam. There's a lot of people in Islam think, well, they believe that Christ lived, but they don't believe that He is the only Savior, the only Redeemer. But He is. He's the only member of true humanity that has solved the world's problem of sin. No one in Islam has solved the world's problem of sin. Only Jesus Christ has solved the world problem of sin. He's the only Savior. He's the only Redeemer. Now, there are a few wonderful exceptions of those who realize exactly that and have placed their faith in Jesus Christ, and they have the gift of eternal life, God's imputed righteousness, and they will live with God forever. Because they realize He is the only Redeemer, the only Savior. So, reason number six, Hebrews 1:3, the King James said, He had by Himself purged our sins. And this is the aorist middle participle of poieo, plus the accusative singular of katharismos, plus the genitive plural of hamartia with the definite article. We have the verb, first of all, poiao. P-O-I-E, long O, poiao. A couple of points on this verb. Literally, in the active voice, poiao means to do, to make, to manufacture, to produce. That's the active voice. But we don't have the active voice. Point two, however, in the middle voice, which is what we have, poieo means to cause, to bring about, to accomplish. Point three, the middle voice puts the spotlight on the agent. And the agent is the incomparable Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the indirect middle. The indirect middle. And the indirect middle signifies that the action is related to the subject in some special and distinctive sense which the writer wishes to emphasize. Four, the aorist tense is very important. It's the constative aorist. The constative aorist. It's putting the spotlight on, let me put it up here. From 12 noon to 3 p.m. That's from 12 noon to 3 p.m. That's the constative aorist. So the constative aorist is putting the spotlight on the last 3 hours that Christ was on the cross. From 12 noon to 3 p.m. That's when God the Father poured out the sins of the world on Christ. That's when God the Father judged the sins of the world in Christ. 12 noon to 3 p.m. That's the constative aorist. And point five, the participle is circumstantial temporal, a temporal participle. And so this should be correctly translated. When he had accomplished, and then we have katharismas. K-A-T-H-A-R-I-S-M-O-S. Katharismas. Now, literally, katharismos means purification. Figuratively, katharismos refers to the Lord Jesus Christ solving the sin problem of the whole world in those last 3 hours on the cross. When God the Father poured out the sins of the whole world on Christ, and then judge the sins of the whole world. The spiritual death of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. His salvation work on the cross that solved the world sin problem once and for all. And then we have the plural of the noun hamartia. Plural is important. H-A-M-A-R-T-I-A. It's not in the singular, it's in the plural. Whenever you have hamartia in the plural, it's referring to personal sins. So we have the plural, our sins. It refers to the sins of the entire human race. And this is the doctrine of unlimited atonement. So the corrected translation, when he had accomplished the purification of sins for the entire human race, unlimited atonement, when he had accomplished the purification of sins for the entire human race, all right, what? On that very first Christmas, through the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God, the Messiah, the incomparable Christ, came into history and took on true humanity. He was always eternal God. But through the incarnation and virgin birth, he came into history and took on true humanity. And he accomplished something that was absolutely unique. Never accomplished before, never will be accomplished again. Absolutely unique. So point one, through the incarnation and virgin birth, the eternal Son of God, the Messiah, the incomparable Christ, came into history and took on true humanity, and he accomplished something that was absolutely unique. Two, the fact that Christ was on the cross, that was not unique. The fact that Christ was on the cross was not unique at all. During the Roman Empire, more people were crucified than any other type of death. So the fact that he was crucified, that's nothing unique about that. Crucifixion was very common in the Roman Empire. But, point three, so the unique thing about the crucifixion of Christ is the last 3 hours when he was bearing our sins and being judged for our sin. That's what was totally, totally unique. That's what makes him the only Savior, the only Redeemer. So the unique thing about the crucifixion of Christ is the last 3 hours when he was bearing our sins and being judged for our sin. That was different. That has never happened before in history and has never happened since. Point four. At the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ did something totally unique. At the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ did something totally unique. Five, at the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ became the only Savior. At the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ became the only Savior, the only Redeemer. Six, this one who created the universe, this one who sustains the universe, this one who will inherit the universe, is the only Savior and Redeemer. The incomparable Christ. This one who created the universe, who is sustaining the universe, who will inherit the universe, is the only Savior and Redeemer. 7. All the Lord Jesus Christ needed to do to create the universe was to speak it into existence. And he did. All the Lord Jesus Christ needed to do to create the universe was to speak it into existence. Eight. But to solve the world problem of sins required him to go to the cross as our Redeemer, as our sin bearer. But to purge our sins, to solve the world problem of sins, he had to go to the cross as our Redeemer and willingly take the sins of the world and the judgment on those sins. 9. The Son's ministry to provide purification from sin is one of the major themes of the Epistle of Hebrews. The Son's ministry to provide purification from sin is one of the major themes of this epistle. Ten, the work of redemption was accomplished totally by Christ. The work of redemption was accomplished totally by Christ, who gave himself as a sacrifice, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, who gave himself as a sacrifice for the purification of sin. The work of redemption was accomplished totally by Christ, who gave himself as a sacrifice. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world for the purification of sin. So, reason number 6 why the Lord Jesus Christ qualifies to be the final communicator of divine revelation and is infinitely superior to the prophets of old. He is the only Savior. He is the only Redeemer. All right. 1. In the doctrine of soteriology, and soteriology, soter is the Greek word for the cross. In the doctrine of soteriology, there are 3 concepts. 3 key concepts: redemption, the work of Christ toward sin; reconciliation, the work of Christ toward man; propitiation, the work of Christ on the cross toward God the Father. Point 2, the phrase "the blood of Christ" applies to all 3 doctrines: redemption, reconciliation, and propitiation. The phrase "the blood of Christ" applies to all 3 doctrines. 3. Redemption is the work of Christ directed towards sin. God the Father poured out the sins of the whole world on Christ, and then God the Father judged the sins of the whole world in Christ. Jesus Christ solved the world's problem of sin by His work on the cross. 4, reconciliation is the work of Christ directed toward mankind. Christ removed the barrier between God and man by His salvation work on the cross. So reconciliation is the work of Christ directed toward mankind. Christ removed the barrier between God and man by His salvation work on the cross. 5, propitiation is the work of Christ directed toward God the Father. Propitiation is the work of Christ directed toward God the Father, meaning that the justice of God the Father was propitiated, satisfied, with the work of Christ on the cross. The justice of God the Father was propitiated, satisfied by the work of Christ on the cross. 6. So redemption emphasizes the fact that we are all sinners. Redemption emphasizes the fact that we are all sinners. Not only by choice or by our bad decisions, our volition, but long before that, we were sinners as the result of our physical birth, at physical birth. Because we were born physically alive and spiritually dead. And you see, the principle is this. We had to be condemned before we could be saved. When Adam's original sin was imputed to our old sin nature at physical birth, that is a demonstration of the fantastic grace and wisdom of God. For while we were born physically alive, we were born spiritually dead at the same time. And therefore, we came under condemnation from God. And here's the principle. Condemnation must precede salvation. Condemnation must precede salvation. And this means that for those in the human race who never reached the point of accountability, they're automatically saved, since they were condemned at birth. And that includes those babies that die right after childbirth. That includes those who die before reaching accountability. That includes those who never reach accountability because of some type of mental deficiency. So point 7. Redemption is viewed from the standpoint of a ransom. Redemption is viewed from the standpoint of a ransom paid on the cross for our salvation. Redemption is viewed from the standpoint of a ransom paid on the cross for our salvation. 8. Redemption views mankind as born into the slave market of sin through the imputation of Adam's original sin to us at physical birth. Redemption views mankind as born into the slave market of sin through the imputation of Adam's original sin at physical birth. We were born physically alive but spiritually dead. 9, redemption is the saving work of Christ on the cross, by which he purchases our spiritual freedom or salvation. Redemption is the saving work of Christ on the cross, by which he purchases our spiritual freedom or salvation. Ten, the coin of the realm for this purchase is called the blood of Christ. The coin of the realm for this purchase is called the blood of Christ. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. In him, in Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins, according to the riches of his grace. And then turn over to Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, starting at verse 12. Giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. For he delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, the incomparable Christ, in whom, Christ, we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Jesus Christ is the only qualified redeemer. Jesus Christ is the only qualified redeemer. Let's take a look at that concept. One, in order to become our redeemer, Christ had to become true humanity. He had to take on true humanity. Turn over to Galatians. Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. But when the fullness of time came, that was the very first Christmas. The greatest miracle this world will ever know. That very first Christmas. But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his Son. The eternal Son of God on that very first Christmas, through the incarnation and virgin birth, took on true humanity. When the fullness of time came, that very first Christmas, God sent forth his Son, the incarnation and virgin birth, born of a woman. Born of a woman. He took on true humanity. Born under the law. Why? In order, for the purpose that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Galatians 4, 4 and 5. 2. He could not be our Savior if He only remained God. He was always the eternal Son of God. He was always the second person of the Trinity. But He could not solve our sin problem if He only remained the eternal Son of God. He couldn't save us as God, because whoever is the Redeemer must be judged for the sins of the world. He could not save us as eternal Son of God, because whoever is the Redeemer must be judged for the sins of the world. 3. We are all born in the slave market of sin at physical birth. We're all born into the slave market of sin at physical birth. But all our personal sins were held until our Lord Jesus Christ reached the cross in a state of impeccability, sinless perfection. The only way He could be qualified to be the only Savior and the only Redeemer, He had to be impeccable. He had to have sinless perfections. So all our personal sins were held until our Lord Jesus Christ reached the cross in a state of sinless perfection, impeccability, and therefore qualified to be the only Savior, the only Redeemer. They were imputed to His true humanity, not to His deity. They were imputed to His true humanity, because deity can have nothing to do with sin. Deity cannot sponsor sin, cannot tempt to sin. Deity cannot sin. In fact, the thought is unthinkable and blasphemous. So it was at the cross, when all personal sins, from Adam's original sin to the last sin committed in the millennial kingdom, were imputed to the true humanity of Christ and judged. And this is why our Lord said in Psalm 22, verse 6, I am a worm. I want you to turn over to Psalm 22. Psalm 22, starting in verse 1. And you've seen this verse. My God, why have you forsaken me? This was Jesus Christ, the only Savior, the only Redeemer, crying out on the cross. And nobody will ever know. The Son had always had eternal fellowship and relationship with the Father. But when the Father had to pour out the sins of the world on Christ, He had to separate, pour out those sins, judge those sins in Christ. And Christ cried out on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? So far from the words of my groaning? Oh, my God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer by night and am not silent. Yet you are holy. You are enthroned as the Holy One You are the praise of Israel. Verse 6. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by men and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. The type of worm mentioned in Psalm 22, verse 6, was a tolia. A tolia. This type of worm in the ancient world was collected and put into a bowl and crushed. And the blood of such a worm was used to make a crimson dye for the robes of kings in the ancient world. So by analogy, because our sins were imputed to Christ on the cross, we can believe in him and receive the robe of divine righteousness at the very moment of salvation. Faith in Jesus Christ. He is the incomparable Christ. He is the only Savior. He is the only Redeemer and the only hope for mankind. Anyone is to place your faith in Jesus Christ. He paid the penalty for your sins once and for all on the cross. And if you simply believe in him, you have eternal salvation. You will live with him forever. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.